Radio Prague News.
An association of NGOs working with migrants has accused the Czech government of refusing to accept its share of responsibility for the humanitarian crisis. The Czech Republic is to offer Hungary help in patrolling the country's borders, and the Czech Interior Ministry is expanding the country's facilities for migrants. An association of NGOs working with migrants has accused the Czech government of refusing to accept its share of responsibility for the humanitarian crisis. In a statement released on Thursday, 24 NGOs urged the government to reject the use of force against refugees, such as truncheons and tear gas during their detention, and provide adequate standards of care for them. The NGOs argue that in the past, the country has sent troops to Iraq and Afghanistan and exported weapons to Syria, therefore it was co-responsible for the crisis in the region. Among the signatories are People in Need, the Association for Integration and Migration, and the Organization for Aid to Refugees. The Czech Republic is to offer Hungary help in patrolling its borders with Serbia and Croatia, Czech Defence Minister Martin Stropnicki told the CTK news agency. The ministry is currently carrying out an analysis of what technical help and personnel could be provided. Technical help could include equipment for monitoring the movement of people, the agency said. The Czech Ministry of the Interior has already sent 50 large tents to Hungary to house some of the migrants. As an EU buffer state, Hungary has been one of the countries worst affected by the migrant crisis. The Czech Republic currently has 680 vacancies in its facilities for migrants, and another 400 should be made available in the near future, Interior Minister Milan Chovanec told the European Affairs Committee of the Lower House on Thursday. There are presently close to 900 migrants in asylum centres and detention facilities around the country. The minister reiterated his concern that the approval of quotas by EU interior ministers could trigger a fresh wave of asylum seekers to Europe in the spring of next year. The Minister for Human Rights and Minorities, Jiří Dienstbier, is to meet with the mayors of 36 towns and cities who are involved in a government program to fight social exclusion. The talks will focus on the extent of progress made, the problems involved, and the possibility of acquiring grants for various initiatives in support of social inclusion. A 10-year European initiative involving 12 European states with Romani minorities to improve their socioeconomic status across the region ended earlier this year. According to national representatives, it managed to raise awareness of the plight of Romanis but failed to prevent their segregation. Police have charged a hotel owner in Zlín with endangering the public health after it emerged that he had put dozens of people at risk by failing to close down the facility after hygiene officers confirmed the presence of Legionella bacteria in the hotel's waterworks. The presence of the bacteria was confirmed last year after a foreign national died of the infection. The hotel owner failed to take any measures and continued to take in guests, putting at risk altogether 36 people. Another man reportedly developed serious health problems as a result. It is not clear if the owner was aware of the problem before the death of one of the hotel guests last year. If convicted, he faces up to 8 years in prison for criminal negligence. The hotel, which has its own source of water, has been closed down. The Czech National Bank Board decided at its meeting on Thursday to keep interest rates unchanged. The two-week repo rate will be maintained at 0.05%, the discount rate at 0.05%, and the Lombard rate at 0.25%. The Bank Board also confirmed the central bank's commitment to intervene on foreign exchange markets if needed to weaken the crown so as to maintain an exchange rate of 27 Czech crowns for the euro. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be clear to partly cloudy with day temperatures at around 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the right-hand man to the Czech president has allegedly not been given security clearance. Prague Castle is to beef up security following an incident last Saturday. And in the second half of the program, meet a member of the approximately 2,000-person strong Syrian community in the Czech Republic. The Czech head of state, Miloš Zeman's right-hand man and effective chief of staff, has reportedly been refused top security clearance from the country's screening authority. And that, according to the president's own declaration, should mean he quits the job. But things might not be so clear-cut. Chris Johnstone explains why.
Words can sometimes disappear into the ether or are quickly buried by time. But sometimes they come back to haunt you. And this looks likely to be the case with the emphatic statement by President Miloš Zeman about the head of his presidential staff and right-hand man, Vratislav Mynář.
Either the clearance is completed and he receives it, then he remains chancellor, or it's not given and he stops being chancellor.
Zeman made the comment soon after Mynář took up the high position without having the highest security clearance to see top secret documents and attend meetings where such details are discussed. In the ensuing 2 years, Mynář has continued in the top post without the security clearance. Given that the Czech president shares responsibility with the government for foreign policy, is the head of the armed services, and makes key appointments across the administrative landscape, this might be considered more than a slight handicap. Now, however, the Daily Pravo has reported that the National Security Authority has finally come to the conclusion that Vratislav Mynář does not merit top clearance. Mynář, for the moment, is refusing to comment, and President Zeman says he will wait to react until he officially gets the verdict from the authority. The news, however, has sparked an almost unanimous chorus from the Czech political scene that Mynář should quit. The preliminary verdict is not the end of the process. Mynář can appeal to the head of the authority to overturn its verdict. That is widely deemed to be an unlikely scenario. He can then challenge the decision in a local court or finally turn to the Supreme Administrative Court. All that could take months and, according to some reports, up to a year, during which the chancellor could be expected to cling to his post. Vratislav Mynář has courted rather more controversy than is usual for a chancellor, as well as attracting more than the usual misgivings about his competence to do the job. Many questions were raised when it was revealed at the start of this year that he'd bought a villa in a select Prague locality for a fraction of the market price. The seller was linked to a notable Prague godfather, a shady lobbyist and fixer operating at the top levels of business and politics. Mynář's nomination to the top of the presidential staff was widely interpreted as payback for heading the campaign that got Zeman elected as head of state in the first national poll for the position in 2013. Earlier, he served as chairman of Zeman's political party and is still head of one of its regional branches. But it's probably Mynář's business past and ongoing connections that have caused the vetting authority to balk at giving him the coveted clearance. Mynář notably hit the jackpot when he was involved in a successful arbitration action against the Czech state over a cancelled agreement to buy shares in one of the country's leading steelmakers. As former leader of Zeman's political party and election leader, he's also been seen as a link man with donors of dubious repute.
Chris Johnstone reporting there on the man who would be chancellor, or would continue to be chancellor, but we'll have to see how that plays out. Prague Castle is to beef up security following last Saturday's incident in which art activists posing as chimney sweeps managed to breach security and they hung a pair of red underpants in place of the presidential flag. While the castle insists the proposed measures have been on the cards for months, Czech President Miloš Zeman conceded that the current affair will speed up the discussions. Dominic Yoon has more.
Heads are rolling over last Saturday's security breach, Petr Dongres, head of the president's security detail, was the first one to come under pressure to resign from Miloš Zeman over the publicity stunt carried out by the hitherto unnamed members of an activist art group called Stohoven. But aside from calling to task staff responsible for protecting the president, the castle is also considering upping security at the site, which today offers almost unencumbered access to tourists. President Zeman's spokesperson Jiří Ovčáček insisted that only some parts of the castle may face new restrictions.
So far, discussions have only centered on offering increased protection to St. Vitus's Cathedral as the central point of Prague Castle.
In comments to the press, Miloš Zeman insisted that the current efforts are not a knee-jerk reaction to the Stohoven affair, but rather motivated by fears over terrorism.
For 2 months now, we've been debating whether to install metal detector gates through which tourists would have to pass through. Such considerations will now be considerably speeded up.
But the security breach has exposed long-standing concerns over shortfalls in the president's security. Last year, the security team lacked 17 personnel, and the previous year, 33 of a total of 213 necessary to protect the president. Similarly, the Prague Castle Guard also faces a shortfall, lacking 38 officers. This state of affairs even led to a recruitment drive with posters in the city's metro asking members of the public to sign up and guard the castle. Zdeněk Drexler, chairman of the Security Services Union, told Czech television that his group has long warned of a shortfall in the Secret Service and police staff, pointing to a recent incident in which the president's residence was sprayed with graffiti while only protected by 2 Secret Service guards.
Our Security Services Union repeatedly pointed out the lack of agents. We ended up in a situation in which the forces had to be broken up and one police officer was guarding the building and the other had to go and deal with those committing illegal acts. Even a layperson will concede that 1+1 cannot tackle such a situation in a proper manner.
Meanwhile, a new video emerged on Wednesday of the Stohoven group climbing up to the castle roof. A member revealed that the video had been stored on a data card left at the site after the police arrested the group. The video was later retrieved by another Stohoven member.
Dominic Yoon reporting. A reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for today's main feature, Panorama with Daniela Lazarova.
Nabil Hamades, a member of the approximately 2,000-strong Syrian community in the Czech Republic. Although he has strong ties to the Czech Republic and settled here 5 years ago, he has relatives in Syria and is one of many who have been watching the worsening humanitarian crisis there with growing concern. I spoke to Nabil about the situation in his homeland, the migrant crisis, and Europe's response to it, and first wanted to know how he came to settle in Brno.
I studied during the 70s in Czech Republic, the university, the Technical University in Brno. And I was graduated in 1975. I got a wife from Czech Republic and we went together to the Middle East and where I worked in Kuwait about 35 years. And then we came back to Czech around 2010. And we settled in Czech Republic together with my family.
You live in Brno. How big is the Syrian community here?
In Brno, unfortunately, the community is not that big. Maybe a few hundred people only. In Czech Republic, in general, there is about 2,000 Syrians. But in Brno, maybe 200.
How do you see what is happening in your country today?
Yeah, I'm very sad to say so, but unfortunately, the regime who was governing in Syria since 1972 until now is the same. And they are in one president was elected and then renewed for him again as another 7 years, And it is continuing until now, which is 42 years about. And the people about 4 years ago, more than 4 years ago, started to ask for some reforms in Syria. And they were demonstrating for a peaceful reforms to give the people more freedom, to give the people more liberty. But unfortunately, they were faced with forces from the government where they killed a few of them. This kind of revolution was following the what is called Arabic Spring, which started in Tunisia and then in Egypt and then in Libya and then followed to Syria.
How do you view the situation today, the humanitarian crisis in the country?
Yeah, I still have parents in Damascus living, and I'm hearing the news gradually every day, and we are following the news. Unfortunately, there is a lot of foreign forces came to Syria, some of them from Persia, from Iran, from Iraq, from other countries, which are they are mixing the revolution in Syria and spoiling the name of the right Syrians who are asking for reforms, who are asking for better life.
Who are the Syrians fleeing to Europe now? Are they young men who are trying to avoid being drafted, or are they young men who plan to bring their whole families here? Who are the people fleeing? Who are the people coming to Europe?
Actually, unfortunately, the people in Syria, where the fights are going on every day and night, and the people are suffering a lot for their safety. The only safe place is Damascus. Only Damascus as a big city, they are still safe where the government is having their offices. Otherwise, in most of the area, there is fight either between the rebels and the government or between some gangs and the people. So these people has passed about two or three stages of immigration. At the beginning, the regime was pushing to reach people, very much pushing and getting from them on monthly money to safeguard their lives, and pushing them not to support the resistance and not to support the revolution. And later on, these people, some gangs from the government, was sent to these people to kidnap some of the important persons and the rich people. And they threatened them to give some money to release them again. So gradually, these people started to immigrate outside Syria. Some of them to Lebanon, some of them to Jordan, some of them to Turkey, some of them to Egypt, and so on. But these are few that are not much. This was the first stage. And second stage, now, the intelligent people, the people who are graduated from universities, engineers, doctors, and so on. And we have few of them here in Brno as well. And these people were pushed to go to army. They were forced to go to army, and we know everybody go to the army, never come back. That's why the people started to immigrate gradually. And later on, the other poor people, they were shifting from a small city to a bigger city. Several times they were shifting from one place to other place together with their families. But then at the end, the only way was for them to go to Turkey, which is having open borders. And from Turkey, unfortunately, and then they started the other gangs getting from them whatever they have money and promising them to send them to Europe.
These migrants are now flooding Europe. How do you see Europe's reaction?
It is, of course, every country is having its own right to accept or to refuse to get these refugees. I agree with that totally. But I see the problem, I see that total Europe, European Union, are not going straightforward to solve this crisis. They cannot solve the crisis by accepting these refugees. And these refugees will do a problem here in Europe a little bit, because they are not knowing the language wherever they are going to settle. They have to learn the language and will take some time. Okay, and they will not feel in their community, new community, as in their community in Syria. They like Syria, they like their country, they like their families, they are liking their relatives. And our relation in Syria is different from here. Here you don't know your neighbor, what is his name. But there in the full street, they know everybody who is doing what is doing, and their lives are much more together. But what I see the problem is that Europe, since 4 years or 4.5 years now from the revolution, is not doing anything. They are just sending money, and the people don't need money there. They want to solve the crisis.
How should Europe help in this case, then? What do you think Europe should be doing?
Then they have to stop the government from shelling the people by sending these barrel bombs, which are reaching the people randomly. You know, when they put from the helicopter a barrel bomb, it is not a precise place and not exactly where it should be, where the rebels are. But they are reaching the innocent people, they are reaching the schools, they are reaching the hospitals. So more refugees, they are escaping from these areas.
So
very difficult.
What should Europe be doing? I don't understand exactly what you're saying. What should Europe be doing? Should Europe be using force to solve the situation in Syria?
Since 1 year or 2 years, there were somebody calling for a peaceful area at the border with no-fly zone, because the main weapon of the government, it is the Air Force. If they stop somewhere in some areas near Jordan, near Lebanon, near Turkey, near Iraq, no-fly zone, as the Mr. Bush, the American president, has done during the Iraq war, most of the problem will be solved. But nobody is willing to help and settle this issue. This is the most easiest way to solve the problem. But nobody is agreeing. Europe is not here. The Americans are the one controlling the situation, and the other side is the Russian and the Iranian. And they are preventing such solution. No, saying, no, we cannot protect the Syrian skies. Turkey has asked for only 90 kilometers, 85 kilometers on the border with Syria, and with the depth of about 30 kilometers or 40 kilometers maximum. And this way they will keep this area, this sky, safe from any attacks. Nobody supported this solution. And this way the people has no other place to go.
Right. Well, the refugees that are here, obviously, they need to be helped. So what should Europe be doing about that? Are you happy with the quotas that were approved? Do you think that refugees should be given a choice where they want to go, or as the situation is now, they will be allocated to different countries? What is your opinion?
My opinion is I think Europe is doing much more than they can do. But the problem this way is not going to be solved, because today there is a few thousand, but this will not finish. There is still 10 million people in Syria out of 23 million of the population. Okay, so they have to expect that there will be still floods of people, still floods of people coming. And what to do now? Now if we have a problem with 120,000, what we will do if another 500,000 will come? This is not going to solve the matter.
So Europe should be resolving it in Syria.
I believe that the political solution, and they have to force the regime to solve the matter.
If we turn now to migrants in Europe, why do so few Syrians want to stay here in the Czech Republic? You said there was a Syrian community here, but only very few of them want to stay. Why is that?
Some of them has already rejoined some their families here, and it is very few. I can count them on my hand. But the others, the problem is the language. This is this one of the major issues, the language. And the second thing is the possibility and chance of work. And there is less chances here than in Germany. You know, the Czech Republic is having 10 million people. This is an industrial country. Maybe they need 4,000, 5,000, as they are declaring these days. which is okay, but in Germany there is 85 million people, there is much more chances to get work.
Are Czechs fears that Syrians and migrants in general will not be able to integrate easily or want to integrate easily, are those fears justified, do you think?
I don't believe that this is the matter. They can acclimatize themselves with any community they are staying, and the Syrians are spread out all over the world, but not at this big quantity. Okay, but of course they will face the first difficulty in the language, and within 1 year or 2 years they can overcome this situation. But I believe also, if the matter in Syria will be solved within reasonable period, say 1 year or maximum 2 years, there will be more than 50% of Syrians coming back to Syria. They don't like to stay here. Except some people who got a good job, they will settle wherever they want. But if the crisis in Syria will not be settled within next one and a half year or 2 years maximum, there will be a lot of people staying in Europe. Because if it will take 4 years or 5 years again waiting, then of course there will be the majority of the people are staying in Europe, unfortunately.
What are your hopes for Syria?
Now I see a little bit that the Russian and President Putin is trying to put some pressure and to do his own solution, because he is not supported by anybody, he is not supported by Americans, and the Americans are not serious in solving the Syrian problem. And because of the ISIS are continuing and getting bigger and bigger, so maybe the Russian has already sent a lot of new weapons, more precise weapons, to fight really with the ISIS. Maybe by end of the year they may reach some political settlement, which we hope. But only one country cannot do, and only Mr. Putin cannot do, only United States cannot do. But unfortunately, everybody is having intention to settle the matter since 4 years, and it's not coming, because there is no force to be imposed on the actual regime which is governing today. They have to force the regime to accept a peaceful solution and control it.
Nabil Hamade, member of the Czech Republic Syrian community, was Daniela Lazarova's guest in that edition of Panorama. And if you'd like to comment that program or anything else you've heard in today's show, please write to us here at Radio Prague. The address, as always, is english@radio.cz. Also, you'll find many more features, stories, news reports at our website, radio.cz. And we are, of course, on Facebook and Twitter as well. I'm Jan Wellinger. For myself, for Chris Johnstone, and for the rest of us here at Radio Prague, thanks so much for joining us this day, and take care.